to pray in the morning. I love to pray in the evening. I love to praise His holy name.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing this morning? God is good, and we thank Him for blessing us to be here to worship His great name. Because God is good, and He is worthy to be praised. Has God been good to you? Let's sing a song with me this morning. God has smiled. Yes, He has. I believe that He has. Thank you, Father. Who is my God? Oh, yes, He smiled on me. Yes, He's been good. Yes, to me. Sing it again like you mean it. Will my God, I know He smiled
on me.
I believe that He has
set me free.
Will my God, oh, yes, He smiled on me. Yes, He's been
good.
Yes, to me. It was amazing grace. It was amazing
grace.
Yes, how sweet
the sound.
Hill that saved a like. Thank you, Father. Will I
was.
Oh, yes, but now I'm found. His was blind. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I see it's all because my God, I know He smiled. I believe that He has set me
free.
Will my God, I know He smiled. Yes, He's
been good.
My God, He's been
good.
Oh, yes, now He's been
good
to me. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Just thank you for being here. We rejoice and thank you if you're tuning in by way of television this morning. We hope that we can say something that may prick your hearts, that will cause you to want to know more about the Lord, that will cause you to even answer the gospel call and say, I too want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you have a question, if you need to talk to someone, if you need to pray with someone, if you call a number on your screen, we'd be more than happy to do that with you even this morning. I want to just dive into my lesson this morning. Our theme for this year is making disciples and making a difference. And we have been embarking upon making sure we understand and know our true purpose. The first couple of Sundays of the year, we focused on the primary purpose of the church. And us as individual, our individual mission is to make disciples and make disciples thereby reconciled. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 to 18, reconciling or bringing the unsaved in a saved back to a right relationship with God. Our mission, our purpose primarily for the church is to do just that, what God has called us to do. Then we discussed in the next lessons how one specifically becomes a disciple according to God's plan, not man's plan. How God wants us to become a disciple, because we can't make disciples unless we're already a disciple ourselves. Then we focused on the benefits of discipleship, because there are great benefits. Matter of fact, if there were no benefits, we wouldn't need to be disciples. We focused on the benefits of discipleship. And today, we want to discuss how being a disciple of Jesus Christ. What's the disciple church? A learner, a lifelong learner of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A learner, it means we've never really arrived. We just continue to learn and grow closer and closer to God. But we want to discuss today how being a disciple can, should, and will make a difference, not only in our lives, but in other people's lives. And so we're talking about discipleship living today, living the lives and discipleship instructions that God has given us that they may make a difference in our life and in the lives of others that we come in contact with. And so we're getting even more practical today through the Word of God. Of course, we can't discuss all the passages and all the scriptures that deal with a discipleship living because there are many. In other words, after we are baptized into Jesus Christ, really our life on this earth really has just begun. You know, we haven't arrived. And so do we have disciples in it this morning? I know we do. I know we do. Are you ready to learn even more what God would have you to do? Because, you know, if we just got enough and we got in the water, we just go straight to heaven. But God didn't intend for us to just go straight to heaven. If he did, we would already be there. But there are so many lost people in this world. Does this world need some lights in this world? Everywhere we go. And I want to just jump into some passages. And so we primarily are kind of focusing on relationships. Yesterday we had a great fellowship with the married couples, those that are serious about being married, and a great fellowship, great breakfast. They fed us so good, and we got fed physically, and then Brother Ben and Sister Candy fed us men and women spiritually. Amen. Yes, and today we're focusing on discipleship living. And But I want to focus primarily on all relationships there, because there's much to say about all our relationships and how this, being a disciple, should affect how we live and talk and communicate one with another. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Yeah, everybody's all right today? Amen. Good. It's good to be here. Good to be able to get up and move around. A lot of hurt and pain going around all over the world. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen, that's us. That's the disciples. And I know maybe we have a seekers in here this morning. I hope we do. Seekers who are trying to find their way, trying to find their true purpose in life. You're in the right place this morning. As we study the Bible, we see in the New Testament, primarily most of the New Testament letters are written to those who've really already made a decision to be a disciple. But still, we have so much growing to do. See, so those who've been chosen. And see, now, don't misunderstand. Don't get disillusioned and get too smart for yourself to say, well, God, you mean God just chose certain people to be disciples? Well, God has offered this discipleship to everybody. Paul wrote to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Amen. Everybody say everyone. Everyone. Who believes. See, now notice, you have to make the choice whether or not you believe. Said to the Jew first, also to the Greek. As everybody in the world has had the opportunity to be saved and to make that choice. And so when we choose God, he definitely chooses us. Amen. And so it's the chosen. This is Colossians 3 to where we, Colossians 1, 2, you see it say to the saints. And we say the disciples are called saints. In Acts 11, 26, they're called Christians. Disciples are called Christians first in Antioch. They're called the saints, the chosen one. I love it that our God calls me chosen. Yeah, I love that. And God knows you. Once you become a disciple, he surely knows. He already knows us, but the Bible says he writes our names in the Lamb's book of life. And so we're talking to the chosen ones, to the disciples, discipleship living. But then he goes on, go back to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. As those who've been chosen of God, holy. and beloved. See, what makes us holy is Jesus' blood cleanses us of all our sins. That's what makes us holy. That's the only thing that makes us holy. Because we can't make our own selves holy. That's why Jesus came and died. He says, holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. That's why it ought to be an immediate rush. When you get baptized and you really know what you have, there ought to be an immediate rush of gratefulness, of love for God, knowing that I'm clean. Amen. I've been washed of all my sins. Lord have mercy. And beloved. Then he goes to some nitty gritty. And he uses the term, in some translation, it would say clothe. In the New American Standard Translation, it would say put on a heart of compassion. Now you become a disciple. And he uses this term to put on or clothe as if it's something that we still have to do. And when you got up this morning, did your clothes just jump on you? No, they were in the closet, they were on the bed, but you had to get them and you had to put them on. Amen. Thank the Lord you put some clothes on this morning. Yeah. Same with our discipleship. Notice this, we've been baptized in water for the remission of our sins. But you don't automatically get spiritual just because you got in the water. There are still some things that all of us have to put. And some of us have been walking around a little naked for a little while. And so I want you to see this now, because this is intentional. And we all have some growing to do. And some of us need to pick up some more clothes. I just believe that. And he goes on. I know sometimes we want this deep, I want some deep teaching. This is fitting to be some deep teaching. He says, put on a heart of compassion. And I want you to notice something about all of these traits as we begin, because he says, put on a heart. They are internal, inward traits. See, you don't have to be a rocket science. You don't have to have any so-called special, unique talent, gift. These are things that every disciple can have. Amen. Now, we have gifts that God has given us. This brother is singing this morning. Does he have a gift? Amen. Amen. Everybody can't get up here and sing. But everybody can put on compassion, amen, can't they? Every person whose name, the name of Christ, and God is just, he's fair. And he gives these instructions to all of us. He says, put on a heart of compassion. And I looked up the word compassion. I always thought I knew what it meant, and it's a term that means moved on the inward parts, the bowels. And I don't care who you were, where you come from, how you used to be, what you used to act like, who you were raised by, you might not have had it before you became a disciple. But the instruction is for us after we've come a disciple is to get it and put it on. Amen. And not to make excuses. Yes. And so some of us we need to, it's time out for us to come talk to, well, this is how I am and how I've been, and I just don't do that. Well, you need to grow up. Amen. You just need to grow up, amen, somebody. See, there is no place, and I love this, because this is so striking, and you read this, it's like a mirror, and it helps you to stop making all these lame excuses. Amen. It's time out for mean disciples. Yeah. Especially after you've been a disciple for a while. See, everybody, grab your bulletin. Just say, grab your bulletin. See, compassion, if you have your bulletin, compassion, one of the things, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I want to end on time. But see, compassion, and it says heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Notice, all of these are inward, internal qualities that God wants us to develop. And one of the main reasons he wants us to develop these is because these are the doorway to us making disciples. Our primary purpose, our primary mission as a church is to make disciples. How are we going to make them? Where are we going to meet the people? By being compassionate, being kind, being gentle, being patient with people. People are our number one priority. So we've been missing too many opportunities because sometimes we just too mean. We're too mean to folk. And so look at this now. Look at our bulletin. Go to the page that has sick and shut in and in our prayers and love and sympathy. Look at that page. See, compassion, it helps you. You look at all of these names. Some of them are kinfolk, but some of them are not. They don't need to be our kinfolk. Amen. They're people. They're people who are hurting, people who are sick, people who've been shut in, people who have physical ailments, people who have mental ailments, people who have lost loved ones, and people who are just troubled. And all of them not on here because our name's not on here. Some of us in here right now, and we hurting, right? And compassion, it does. When you see people hurting, when you see people going through something, compassion don't let you just sit there. It moves you. Have you ever see, compassion will make you come to a funeral of somebody you don't even know. Just because they you know about them, and you come to the funeral and you see the family cry, and your compassion will make you, you sitting at the funeral and you'll find yourself crying and you don't even know the person that's in the casket. You crying because somebody else that you care about is crying. But you know, I grew up hard. Everything was hard. You know, you just I know that's what you used to be. That's how you used to be, because sometimes we act that way because we have not been shown some compassion. Amen. And people have been hard on us. But that's not the way of God. Amen. It wasn't the way of Christ. Christ was compassionate with so many people. And he knows that if you're going to reach people, because, see, that's going to come a time. This is what happens. See, that's going to come a time when you are going to need. You're going to, not, listen, not you're going to want it. You're going to need some compassion. Amen. You're going to need somebody, somewhere. That's what's wrong. Some people right now, they're so angry at the world because there's no doors opening. Nobody's giving them a second chance. Nobody's looking out for their needs, and they're mad at the world. Amen. God knows that. Amen. And he wants his disciples to be different from the world. Amen. Notice, that's why you become a disciple. God wants you to be different, to act different than folk on your job who know nothing about qualities like this and who withhold them only for people they choose. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So I wish we had time to read all of them. Look over to your right. All of the debts we have had. And this is just a microcosm. Some of them are not even on. Sister Peggy Blackburn lost her husband. Yeah. And it was this weekend. Their names are not even on here. Some of you don't know Sister Peggy Blackburn. She's a faithful member of this church. Faithful member. You have to know people to be feel compassion for them. Yeah. Yeah, and so all of these members, and I know our heart bleeds for them. And notice this is to help us all grow, especially a church like ours. We have to really, we with a church this side, well, I don't know them, I don't know where. See, that's compassion. See, kindness. This is why God wants you to be this way, because see, this coming down your street one day. It is. And you know, when something happened to us, we want everybody. We want somebody. You know, did nobody call? We want somebody to call. We want somebody to bring some food. We want somebody to send a card. And see, when you know, and I'm not saying you be compassionate so somebody can be compassionate. It's the way God wants us to be. Amen. You see, you act like, well, it don't matter until it happened to you. Amen. Yeah. And we all need. So you don't have to know. You get to know folk. And God wants his disciples to be intentional. That's why he says to put it on. You do it. You change. You have these qualities. Anybody can be kind, can't they? Yeah, he says be kind. And some of it, it takes more work than others. See, if you grew up in a kind family, everybody's speaking and thank you and please, thank you. And some people didn't grow up like that. You get what you have and, you know, you get stuff and don't say thank you, but that's why you have to put it on. Amen. Yeah, and it's not that hard to learn how to be kind. Amen. When somebody bring you a glass of water, say thank you. Everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
That's being kind. You don't have to say all that. That's the old you. That's the old you. The new you is when you treat people. You lower your voice tone. You're not hollering and screaming at folk all the time. You take all them frowns off your face like I got on mine right now. Yeah. You know what it means to be kind.
Amen.
Don't we? Yeah. Thank you. Well, that's nice of you. Thank you for opening the door for me. You can sit right here. Yeah, I have a bulletin. No, I don't mind. Yeah, not me mugging folk and looking at them crazy, one-eyed, cross-eyed. Yeah. And daring people, and that's not the disciples. That's not us. That's not God's people. People ought to know when we go to work, we go there, man, that's a Christian. That's a child of God. That's a saint. That's a disciple right there. She not going to act like that. He not going to act like that. Yeah, that's God's. See, being a disciple makes a difference when we walk in a room.
Amen.
When we at the meeting. When we at the church meeting. When we at the PTA. When you at the ball game, don't clown and act like you don't. Yeah. Say, put, notice the contrast. Notice the contrast. Colossians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, we were in Colossians 3:12. Notice that he says, put these things on. And I'm going to go back to that. Verse 7, he says, Colossians 3:7. And in them you also walk. He's talking about your previous life. When you were living in them. And he names a number of things even before this. But then now in verse number 8, I'm going to name some other things. But now, everybody say, but now. But now you also put them all aside. Now you put some on and there's some things you put aside.
Amen.
Notice, it is intentional. You have to do it. You literally have to say, this is what I used to do. This is the way I used to talk. This is the way I used to act. This is how I used to be so unconcerned. But now I'm going to put these things aside. And then he goes on and he names some of them. He specifically names some for us who need to be named. He says this, put them all aside. But to put aside means to renounce. It means to stow away. It means to lay them aside. And he names, he says, anger. Anybody got some anger problems? Don't raise your hand. Don't say nothing. Yeah. You know anger is a problem in this world. Now, some of us get mad too fast. Too fast and too much. Now, we know anger is an emotion. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. It's something that happens to us because people do get on our nerves. But there is a way that God wants his disciples to deal with this anger. Yeah, and you can't, you just get mad at it. Some of us, we are waiting to get angry. You driving up, I wish she would say something. Why are you wishing somebody? I'm just going to watch him and see if he's going. Come on, brothers.
Amen.
Yeah. And so it's something that we have to lay aside. We have to put off this mentality that we want to defend everything. He go and notice how progressive these words. He says first anger, then he uses the term wrath. It's like we want to make somebody pay. And then he uses the word malice. You know the word malicious. It is that we are thinking of something in our mind. How are we gonna get folk back? God don't want that from the disciples. Not us. Not us. You give people the benefit of the doubt. Now, Brother Gary, people will run over you. I know it. Amen. And you know, sometimes people will try to run over us. God don't want us to just be blind, but he wants us to be meek and lowly at heart. Amen. Yeah, and he says, and this is a problem. Now, notice it. All of the other aforementioned qualities that God wants us to put on are doorways to us making disciples. The ones that we need to put off are door closers. The ones that we need to put off will cut off your influence, will cut off your words, everything you say will be negated if you keep these qualities in your life. Wherever you go, at home, at work, at church, at play. You can't, you playing basketball out on the court and you can't control your anger. You need to stop playing basketball. Amen. Some of us, I love basketball. And you playing basketball, you're a Christian, you're a disciple, and somebody touch you, foul, foul. And you fussing and arguing, and that's your demeanor. And everybody sees it. And you say, I've heard it before. And he's supposed to be a. And then when you get through, you say, come on, let's make a circle. And let's pray, y'all. I don't want to pray with you. Yeah. Yeah, he says to. To put them aside. He says malice, slander, notice this, and abusive speech from your mouth. This is one that just kind of checks us. Because, you know, the words stick us. Because I know sometimes I get impatient, and, you know, we and that's easy. And here, you know, we put on these, I'm not going to say faces, but we kind and we speak. But when we get away from here, We transform into the we get so short. Amen. We'll go right out here in the parking lot, and we don't watch out. We will act like somebody before we leave this place. Amen. And we in a hurry to go nowhere. Amen. I need to hurry up and get out of here. Where you going? Rushing home to sit down on your couch to do nothing. And we make everything. And he said, now put that stuff aside. Because see, I want you to make disciples. I want your neighbors, when they look at you, when they see you pulling in the driveway, when they see you out in your yard, I want you to act like a disciple. How would a disciple act? You're not angry. Yes, the neighbor's kids dropped a ball in your yard and it got on your cute grass and made a little brown grass. But you don't sue them. Not the disciples. You toss the ball back. Yeah, your ball is over here. Yeah, your neighbor put the trash can and it got on the line right next to your yard line. And you don't call a neighborhood protection and having to write them up. Not the disciples. No, you see people and you know in the country. You go to the country, I don't know if they still do this, but in the country, we go to the country and we were young boy and everybody waving. And everybody, you know what they do in our country road? They blow, you ride down the street, everybody blow, doo-doo. Everybody, I said, Mom, what they blow? Hey, they speaking, boy. They blow their horns at you, wave. When they have funerals in the country, they pull over on the side, and some of the men, they take their hat off. And In here, you have a funeral. If you don't have an escort, you will get ran over. And so we're talking about making a difference. And you know, when we, you have, I thank the Lord. We have a wonderful, friendly church. And so I worry sometimes about our visitors that come sometime, because you know, some of us have a bad day. We have a bad morning. And you don't never know who's among us. Yeah, you see people who don't know where they go. You ever seen somebody come into play and you can tell they don't know where they're going? They're looking around. And some of us members, I know not you, but this 11 o'clock service. they don't tell them I said that now. Some people look around trying, and you just walk trying to get, you go into your seat up, and you walk right past and sit down, and they still up there trying to see where to go, and nobody say nothing. Ma'am, you looking for something? Oh, no, brother, the elders, they can't be, brother, you spoke, no, come on, no, I didn't even see the person. He said, ma'am, you looking for a plate? What are you trying to, well, I'm trying to get my kid. Okay, let me show you where it is. It's kindness. Gentleness. He goes on to say in Colossians 3:12. Then he says, bearing with one another. Yeah. And see, that's just something that we got to do. Because see, you never know our situation. We had everybody. We have a lot of people in here that's on medication. Okay, well, those that want to cooperate right now. If you're on any kind of medication, raise your hand. Now see, some medication's stronger than others. I know, you know some people, you know, one sister told me, a sister and a brother told me, Gary, I sit in the back because I take this medication, and every now and then I got to pop up and go to the restroom. And then one brother told me, Gary, it ain't your sermon. I love your sermon, Gary. But some of that medication, Lord, it'll make me sleep sometime. Now, some of you don't have an excuse. Don't be playing. But now, suppose you sitting next to me. Look at that man over there. He said, all he do is sleep. I'm just so sick of him popping up and just going to the restroom all the time. That don't make no sense. He's talking about I need to say something to him. Be careful. I mean, just be careful. You know, sometimes when something happens repeatedly and you may need to let one of the leaders know, that's okay. But you still, as a way to even do that. Amen. You got people in all kinds of situations. Some of the people have babies, special needs babies. And I tell you what, if you got a young baby in here right now, you probably can't hardly keep your eyes open anyway. Some of you forgot how little children wear you out. And the scriptures, it doesn't tell you exactly every circumstance. What it says is bear, tolerate one another. In so many cases, even in the Lord's church, hearing it right now, you have older sisters who sit, help. I've had so many older sisters who've helped my wife. You know when somebody's struggling. When our kids were young, you know, you come down, brother, come in here, her blouse button all got 7 buttons down this way. And some of us sit there and watch it and say, look at that, she don't even know how to dress. And somebody else looks at it and says, baby, I know you're tired. But you please go to the bathroom and button your butt. Don't put it on Facebook that Sister Smith had her buttons all twisted. Discipleship. Living is serious business. Because, see, the way we act and whatever we do, my goodness, I didn't time. Let me do this. Let me go back to the text. Go back to the text. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Yeah. Why do you think that Apostle Paul had to write this way back then? Why do you think he had to write this to folk who named the name of Christ, who made the choice that they want to be the Christian? They wanted to go to heaven, but they're not in heaven yet. They needed it. Do we need it today? And there's so many circumstances that require the only answers for disciples is forgiveness. It's bearing with one another. You know, you tolerate one, you know, and sometimes it happens over and over again. You get a situation, the only way you're going to solve it. See, now, the world solve a lot of problems, that the world will sue you for everything. I mean, you get sued for everything. You know, you see neighbors who like the Hatfields and the McCoys. They stay right next to each other down the street and they hate one another and they despise each other because somebody just won't give in and say, hey, you can have it your way.
Amen.
Somebody don't say simple words like, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I made a mistake.
Amen.
Or I'm my bad. And it's just weak. You will never win that person. You will never convert a person who's unsaved to be saved with an attitude like that. You can close that door and it'll stay closed. And the only way you're gonna penetrate many individuals who don't know church, who don't know the Bible, is the way you treating them to create an opportunity that you will be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And then situations that happen that cause so much friction, you know, and this is when you tell you really are growing. This is when you can tell you're growing. Is when you're able to forgive people. Yeah, it takes a mature saint to resolve in their minds. Notice this. Let me give you something to help you though. He says, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against everyone, just as the Lord forgave you.
Amen.
Notice this. So also should you remember putting on. See, it's not natural. It's not natural to just say, okay, you know, the Christian always got to give in. Well, you're kind of right. Notice, the disciple. Because, see, some people never will give in. Some folk never will concede. See, some people just don't have it in them. Or they've been hurt so bad. Notice this. And you're not just doing it for their sake.
Amen.
We turn into somebody that God does not want. Jesus forgave us when we absolutely did not deserve it.
Amen.
And notice this. And for the disciples, see, some of us, we see some of these passages and we think they are suggestions. But for the disciple, it's a commandment.
Amen.
That's what scares me. That's why sometimes I hear people tell me, but your problem is, you know, see, you're too nice. See, you gonna some they're gonna run all over you.
Amen.
And I may be too nice. But don't get fooled now. And God does not, that's like the leaders of the congregation, shepherds. The shepherds play a different role in the congregation. See, they watch for the soul. But see, the minister, the evangelist, is to reprove, rebuke, instruct. And see, the word of God, that's why I see one thing, I'm nice, but one thing I got on my side is I got the word of God. And so I will nicely give you the word of God. Amen, somebody. Now, be nice, but you always give. That's like right now. Some of us, we think forgiveness is a suggestion. Well, you need to be forgiven. Brother, you need to keep trying. Brother, you need to get. You think it's a suggestion. Well, I'm working on it. I ain't there yet. I'm trying to get there. Well, you need to hurry up and get there. Because he said it's something that you should do. You got to put it on. And if you keep not putting it on, and so he says, beyond all these, in verse number 14, all these things, put on love, which is the perfect. It's the perfect, but this is so true. Love is the perfect bond. Love is the super glue.
Amen.
Love is the cement. It's the when you're having issues, you know, like in your family, you and your wife, you're at each other, you're fussing, she made her point, you made your point, you think you made your point, she thinks she made your point, you who you are, she is who she is, and it's not going to change, I'm external, I'm an introvert, she's an extrovert, and that's the way I was raised, and that's just how I am. And you just can't agree. What you going to do, shoot each other? You're going to hate each other. You're going to divorce. Yeah, a lot of couples do just that.
Amen.
But you know what some couples do? I'm serious. I need to stop. I'm serious. Sometimes I'm glad y'all don't looking at my house.
Amen.
What's going on a daily basis. Because you would misunderstand some things that went on. You really would. Because Brother Gary and Sister KB, we've been married now for 33 years. And boy, we've had some showing up good times, haven't we, baby? We've had some hallelujah good times. Praise the Lord. But we can rock it out, too. Some of you older members, you know what that means? You know what that means. Me and Sister KB, we done had some knockdown. We haven't had no fisticuffs. Thank the Lord. No. I'm not putting. That's not one of my faults. It's not one of her faults. But we see. You know why, don't you? You know why? Most of you that know Sister KB, can't she? She pretty strong-willed, ain't she? And I'm strong-willed. That can be a serious problem, can't it? Both of us strong will. And we get what we get engrossed sometimes, and she dig in. I'm like, look, you better submit to me. I learned not to say it like that. But in my mind, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, you need to chill out. But we disciples. I'm just saying, what you mean? But see, I know my wife trying to get to heaven. That's why this is a whole nother lesson. That's why you need to marry somebody that's trying to go to heaven. I'm telling you. See, I know she's trying to go to heaven, and I know I'm trying to go to heaven. And sometimes I just say in my mind, I say, look, now, we can't get to heaven like this.
Amen.
And you know what I say? I know, KB, I know she loves me.
Amen.
See, she haven't ever done cases. She don't try to hurt me, and I don't try to hurt her.
Amen.
And just because I know she loves me.
Amen.
I just figure anything we go through, any argument, any disagreement that we have, you know what I just say? You can't have everything you want.
Amen.
And some of it you just give. Some of you say, you know what? Go ahead, KB. You right, baby. You right.
Amen.
I've done that a few times. And sometimes, believe it or not, my wife is just, this morning we was getting up, I get up early and then I start getting up, getting ready, and she's still laying there. And I get antsy because I need to go. And she haven't even moved yet. And boy, that used to be, I remember some, boy, we had some, this morning, I see that, I learned. I said, baby, you going with me this morning? And she said, yep. When she said, yes, I am. I said, okay, I need to go find me something to do. I sit out in the car and went over my lesson again. Boy, we had to grow. We've grown. But you know what? Love. See, that's what you need to love hard. When times are good, not even when times are bad, love hard. Because love is the glue. See, one of you, you know what? You're going to keep being mean to each other, and one of you going to fall out, one of you going to get sick, and you're going to need somebody to sit there. And I'm telling you, not anybody going to sit with you every day, and you've been mean and fussing. They'll watch you say, they'll make all kind of excuses that they can't, they don't. Love is the perfect bond.
Amen.
Now, this is a message to disciples. It's not to the world.
Amen.
And, you know, we got to model this because these are the doorways. People want something that's going to make a difference.
Amen.
People are not going to get baptized and be a disciple if the disciples acting like heathens.
Amen.
You're here today. You're not a disciple. You need to be. It's the best life. It is.
Amen.
It's the best life. You come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the remission and forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his body, to the church. You become a disciple. And once you become a disciple, God has commissioned you also to live a life that would model Jesus Christ and lead others to Christ. And we reconcile them back to Christ like we were reconciled back to Christ. If you're here and you're a disciple, and we all need to grow.
Amen.
And you haven't been living the way God would have you live. Pray and ask God to help you to grow.
Amen.
Read his word. Remind yourself of what he's taught us that we should do.
Amen.
But start with the basics. It's not grand. All of these are internal things that start in our hearts, in our minds, and they change our actions. If you're here and you need to ask for forgiveness or repentance of your sins, we can pray for you this morning. If you have a prayer request, you can come right now as we stand and sing.
In my heart, sometimes I wonder.